Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from Spokane Valley. It's a question. The capital of Free Washington status up in the air right now. We'll get to that here later in the show, but brought to you by the committee elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And doing the hard work to implement freedom, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. But we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. As Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Are we warriors? Are we growing weary? Are we tired of the fight? I think that some of the things that I've seen in the last few months indicate that maybe as a whole, some of us as Christian conservatives are growing tired. We're growing weary. We're allowing ourselves to be deceived and fooled by the schemes of vain and ambitious men. And we need to refocus ourselves in such times. And I want to tell you a story. I haven't told this, I don't think, on the air before, but I want to tell this story today because the elections nationwide did not go well. The elections locally did not go well. The elections at the state level did not go well. And a lot of people were hanging their head, and I was reminded of a story from back when I served in Iraq. And I want to tell that story to you now and kind of bring home the lesson I believe there is in that story. I served with Sergeant Jeff Shaver. He was a medic under my command in Iraq. And part of our area of operations included Saddam's nuclear facility. And just outside of that nuclear facility was a village. And there were a lot of health problems in that village. And so we were going to set up a medical clinic to help some of the kids and some of the people in that village. And Sergeant Jeff Shaver, he actually volunteered on his day off to go on this mission. It was called Operation Three Thumbs. And we called it that because literally there was a kid in the village that had three thumbs. And the only, you know, logical conclusion to draw from that is it was because they were right next to the nuclear facility. And these people needed help. They needed compassion. And so we set up a mission to go there. And Sergeant Jeff Shaver volunteered on his day off to go to help these kids. And I was driving that morning to the Tactical Operations Center to get a briefing. I saw Sergeant Jeff Shaver standing over, loading up his Humvee, getting ready to go on that mission, Operation Three Thumbs. And for some reason, to this day, I don't know why, but my driver stopped in the road, and Sergeant Jeff Shaver looked over, and he waved at me. And I waved back and told my driver, you know, come on, let's go. And about 10 minutes later, while we were there at the operations center, the radios exploded because a bomb had been detonated while those guys had gone on their mission and had caused the death of Sergeant Jeff Shaver. And I went in to see him afterwards. And I reached out and I touched his body. And I saw that he was still smiling. That he died with a smile on his face. And as a believer and as a Christian, he knew that he was dying going to help somebody else and save other people from the misery that they had been subjected to most of their lives. And he'd given up his life on his day off. And I still remember that because I wrote a letter home to his mom and his fiance that Jeff wasn't coming back. And I came home from Iraq. I got involved in the political field because I saw the need to honor the sacrifices of people like Sergeant Jeff Shaver. And that the Constitution means something. That the thing we call America, the country, the values, the traditions, the heritage that we enjoy as Americans, that it made America great, that means something. It's worth fighting for. And a few years later, there was an opening at a museum down in, I think, Chehalis. It was a veterans museum, and I happened to go down there on a tour, and I walked in. And as I walked into this museum and walked around the corner, there was a life-size picture of Sergeant Jeff Shaver staring back at me, and the letter, a copy of it anyway, that I'd written home to his mom, right next to that. His mom, by the way, just a wonderful, wonderful lady. It was just an amazing response that she sent to me. Because what do you say? I mean, it was her son. But when I saw that, it reminded me that not only do we honor the sacrifices of our veterans, especially coming up on Veterans Day, but just all the time, we have to honor those sacrifices in a tangible way. That means we need to do our part, do the little part about showing up to vote, do the little part of doing the right thing when nobody else is looking. I didn't know that letter would ever be up somewhere like that. It's touching a lot of lives. I didn't know that, but the Lord can use us in those ways that we don't even see, we can't even fathom. But we've got to show up. We've got to be involved. And now that we have lost the majority in the Senate and the state Senate, and the state house is one vote away from a majority, but now the Democrats control both houses and the governor's mansion. And now that we have socialists in firm control of the city of Spokane, and now we have three that were aligned with the socialists, two of whom lifelong liberal Democrats sitting in Spokane Valley seats now. You've got to ask yourself a question. Is just filling out a ballot and sending it in, is it something I can do to honor the sacrifice of all those that went before me? Because if you didn't do that, or if you were one of the people maybe that knows somebody who undermined the Christian constitutional conservatives, what you did is essentially say that those sacrifices weren't worth it. And a lot of veterans out there today that I talk to privately watch what's happening in the country, and they're upset about it, and rightfully so. And so tonight, if you have the opportunity, get your family together and just come before the Lord and ask what needs to be repented of as a family, as individuals and a family. And also what you can do to honor those sacrifices and actually stand up. Because, yeah, we might be tired. We might be weary. We might be seeing the stuff that's happening, Donald Trump saying it doesn't do any good. But you're missing the point. In fact, I was asking some of those questions. You know, I mean, does this do any good? I mean, there's so much corruption and people that lie and cheat and fool people are the ones that are getting elected. You know, it can be really discouraging. And you have to ask yourself, not is it worth it, but what's my mission? What's my duty? And my duty is not to win. It's to fight. It's to show up. It's to be there to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, to impact lives around me in ways that I can't even understand or imagine. And if we start thinking that way, low voter turnouts and socialists now invading the conservative halls in Spokane Valley, that'd be distant memory. And mark my words, I want to be really clear about this. There's some people out there that say, oh, it's not as bad as you say. There are indeed people in this world. You need to embrace this fact. There are people in this world, in beady little eyes, with beady little eyes, sitting in places, plotting intentionally the destruction of America and the Constitution. We need to acknowledge that that evil exists, because it is evil, and we need to call it evil. And we need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and be Americans again. You know, when somebody gets elected who got a zero on the We Believe We Vote score and gets elected, they don't have a Christian worldview. If you voted for that person, you voted against a Christian worldview. And that's going to be between you and your maker. But if you voted that way and you just didn't know, you did it out of ignorance, then we need to examine ourselves and how we approach things. And I wanted to share that with you today because we don't have an option to fight. We must fight to preserve the culture, heritage, and traditions that made America great. Because if we don't, the world that will come as a result of it will be a world we can't even recognize, full of violence and hate, full of tears and tragedy, where a dim hope might just be the memory of the times when freedom did reign. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. From the international front, is the Middle East on the edge of war? I reached out privately. Some of the people in the know that I talked to have said, yes, indeed, the Middle East is on the edge of a major war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Now, the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen launched a missile over Saudi Arabia that was intercepted by Patriot missile battery. The Saudis have now shaken up leadership. And I'm going to tell you something. There was an interesting article out that I saw, and I got to follow up on this, okay? But this article talked about the fact that the reformer king in Saudi Arabia, who's named his reformer son, and understand the difference, as it is very clear in my mind that Wahhabi Islam is different from Sunni Islam proper, okay? I'm just ideologically different. And so the arrests that happened in Saudi Arabia, as I understand it, were of the Wahhabis. The Sunni, the more moderates, are the ones that we're doing that. But here's an interesting thing, and I got to follow up on this, and I've got to verify it, okay? But this just was fascinating, that this reformer Saudi king, Salman, was in Las Vegas at the Tropicana during the shooting. Now, I got to follow up on this because there's only one article I found on it. And that would answer some questions potentially about some of the lack of information coming out on Las Vegas. So either way, getting back to the Middle East, the Iranians have also shaken up leadership. The Ayatollah intentionally moving people around the army and the navy. And most people are saying they're getting ready for war. Now, this one missile that was launched by these Iranian-backed rebels is probably an indicator that they're testing what the Saudis' resolve is. And also on top of that, Hezbollah, Iraqi Shiite forces, have taken the last ISIS stronghold in Syria in Abu Kamal, and it fell apparently yesterday. So it looks like ISIS is off the scene. Now there's going to be a power struggle between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and apparently it's going to become overt. It's been covert for a while, but now it's going to become overt. Also on the international front, North Korea, there was some indications of a potential missile test over there, but North Korea staying silent. Perhaps three U.S. aircraft carriers maybe helping with that or helped to change their mind. I don't know. Also on the international front, the Catalonians, defiant. Their leader arrested, but still urging peace, actually turned himself in. And now fighting for Catalonian independence from prison. Kind of an interesting reminder, too, that sometimes people in prison can change the way things operate outside of prison in dramatic ways, a.k.a. the Bundys. Also, on the international front, Milan and Venice voting 95% for autonomy, and these other autonomy movements, and there are dozens and dozens of them in Europe, beginning to bloom and blossom. So we're going to keep watching this. I'll keep reporting on it because it's important to understand that really what we're seeing is the decline of empire, as Sir John Bagot Glubb says, in The Fate of Empires. And if you haven't read that book, The Fate of Empires, 26 pages, you can download it online for free. You got to read it. Just take the opportunity tonight. It's a fast read. It's one of the most succinct summaries of history and the lessons we can learn from history that I've ever read. It's just phenomenal. But what he says in there is that during the decline of empire, essentially there, he doesn't call it neo-tribalism, but essentially that's what it is, that there is a devolution back to the shared values, cultures, traditions of peoples to weather this decline of empire. He says that's happening in Europe, based on his analysis, and this is back in the 60s and 70s, based on his analysis, this is what's happening in Europe. So take a look at that. Also on the international front, Venezuela on the cusp of default, 2,400% inflation. They've missed five payments. Looks like they're trying to do debt restructuring on the one from last week. Now, they did make one payment over this period, but many investors think that they're done. So we're going to make sure to update you on what is happening in Venezuela because, again, this is the logical conclusion of socialism. This is the policies of centralization of control that lead to almost formal default. These are the same socialist policies that have led to Illinois becoming bankrupt, to Puerto Rico becoming bankrupt. Now, I know Illinois, they're not officially bankrupt because according to statute, Congress has to declare them bankrupt, but in effect, they are bankrupt. And these are socialist policies here in the United States. Venezuela is just farther ahead, farther down that road. And now we have socialists here in Spokane County and doing just outrageously crazy ideas that you can't pay for, instituting policies that are going to bankrupt the city of Spokane, are going to turn potentially the city of Spokane Valley toward higher taxes, toward more government. I mean, you know, there was this lie on the radio. Somebody out there did this just horrifically false radio ad. And everybody knew it was false. He did it intentionally. It was false. I mean, it's just totally dishonest that the Spokane Valley City Council was looking at a 6% tax increase. That was just not true. I was there. It's not true. But the people that got elected in, they are going to look at that. In fact, they said, some of them specifically, that they would not take a taxpayer protection pledge because they can't ever say that they wouldn't raise taxes. Well, that always tells you that their worldview is wrong because they don't understand the problem. The problem is the size and scope of government. We don't need more taxes. We need to shrink government. get it out of the way of the private sector so that the economy can grow, and as a result, more revenue will come in anyway. It's just simple, basic economic principles. And Venezuela has violated these, and now we're seeing them reap the whirlwind. Also on the national front, Senator Rand Paul, apparently unprovoked, according to one of his friends, assaulted by a Democrat neighbor who broke, it's up to six ribs as well. And he's going to be out of the Senate for a while. That's interesting because this apparently came out of the blue. Senator Paul doesn't know why he attacked. At least that was the last word that I got. So you got to ask yourself some questions. Tax reform is coming up. I mean, is that where we're at in America today, that the left can just with impunity physically injure people? I mean, this is what, the second major incident in the in a year, following on the heels of all the death threats that happened to myself and other people around the country locally in state and local level elected positions. Understand something, folks. This is what the left is about. They're about violently taking what they can't get, or fooling people, tricking people, conning people, because they can't do it via principle because their worldview is wrong and they know it. So they got to use these other tactics. Also on the national front, this atheist who murdered 26 at a church in Texas, there's some, these skull masks are kind of interesting because there's been left-wing groups that have put it online about these skull masks. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how this investigation goes to see what connections there were. But right now, apparently there aren't any direct connections. But I will say this, there is a direct connection between atheism and death, where you have the former Soviet Union, atheist communist, the former atheist communist Chinese, Mao Zedong, you know, millions and millions dead. Again, logical end results of communism, centralization of control, where they think they can live your life better than you do. Also on the national front, the FBI, in a field report, documented collusion between members of what apparently is an Antifa group out of Oakland and Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula and Al-Qaeda of the Maghreb. They apparently met in in Germany with the anti-fascist group in Germany and then met these guys as well. So there's some documented collusion between the radical Islamists and the left. Again, should not be a surprise. We've talked about this on the show before with General Mihai Pachipa's book, Disinformation. It'll be curious to see what the snowflakes do. You know, they kind of petered out last weekend when it was snowing. Apparently afraid of snowflakes. I don't know. But they apparently petered out last weekend. We'll see if this continues in any way, shape, or form into the new year. Also on the national front, JFK files released. And one of the interesting files that came out of that appears to be a confirmation of two shooters because of a bullet hole in the windshield. Now, I'd heard about this a while back. But the fact that it came out in these JFK files is just fascinating. And then the other one that was absolutely fascinating that came out as well as part of this was the CIA. And now, this was in the JFK files because of the battle with the communists in South America. Okay, so understand how this might be related. But apparently, there was a source in South America with a picture, and you can look at it for yourself online, with a picture with Adolf Hitler in the 1950s. Again, giving credence to this argument that Hitler may have fled to Argentina. So just fascinating, this report in these CIA files, released as part of the JFK stuff. Also on the national front, the Clinton collusion with the Russians apparently is being downplayed, but I hope there is someone in Congress with a spine that will take this on And I'll tell you, too, that the guy that did have a and does have a spine, Roy Moore in Alabama, is being absolutely smeared in the media right now. And I hope we have all learned that the guy that's getting smeared the most in the media typically is the guy you want to vote. I hope y'all understand that. Where the dirty tricks and the all that stuff comes out, usually that's the person you want to vote for. So Roy Moore just getting smeared, and you know, because they know he would have a spine if he went to the Senate, and then he would look into this stuff, this Clinton collusion with the Russians and Uranium One scandal. Also on the regional front, Bundy Ranch trial is underway. Apparently, Ammon and Ryan Bundy moved back to the prior prison that they were in, where some were saying that their treatment was very poor. Either way, there have been several articles out by Readout News. So if you want to follow the trial in depth, Sherry DeVale has done a great job. She's actually going to be this next Monday at 6 o'clock at Sherry's on Sullivan in the Spokane Valley with the Spokane Conservatives. She's going to be giving a briefing on what's happening in the Bundy Ranch trial. We'll get her on probably the week after just to follow up with it. Because there's so much that's happening, and she's really good about breaking it all down and showing us, you know, what, you know, the implications of some of the rulings by the judge are. Now, here's an interesting thing. In a prior hearing as part of this trial, BLM Special Agent in Charge Dan Love testified that the Department of Justice had overridden his authority as the incident commander. And he implicated the former U.S. Attorney Daniel Bogden for making the decision to release the cattle that brought an end to the protest. So as many of us suspected, the highest levels finally weighed in to end that protest. So we will get more on that, but that trial, some are billing the trial of the century, is underway down in Nevada. On the local front, as I documented earlier, the socialists in firm control of the city of Spokane Council, socialist-aligned candidates. We don't have the results in for tonight yet, but apparently have won 3 seats on the Spokane Valley City Council. And you need to tell your friends and neighbors, because if they voted the wrong way, you need to tell them that they screwed up massively, and they're gonna see some things happen that are just horrific. And your other neighbors that didn't vote, you need to get on them too, because this is what happens when we don't show up. And the turnout was so low. And we always have to be vigilant to defend our freedom. On a positive note on the local front, the Spokane Valley Cintas Corporation earned the VPP Star, the highest national safety award in the country. And I happened to be there this morning. It was a great ceremony. My friend Steve Borchers has done a great job there at Cintas, making it the safest in Spokane Valley. And I hope they continue this, you know, and be a beacon to all the other businesses around. Just a phenomenal award, and right here in Spokane Valley. And this is an award that, again, is the highest national safety award. So great job with Cintas. And we hope, too, that they continue to bring a lot more jobs to Spokane Valley like they already have. They're doing a great job out there. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and Victoria and for the show. Make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to keep us on the air, you can go to VoteShea.com, and you can donate and help us stay on the air and keep the message of freedom and liberty pinging off the mountains throughout all of eastern Washington, North Idaho, and Northeast Oregon. Well, it is my pleasure to introduce you today to a guest I've wanted to have on here for a while. Finally, we're able to get her on, Debbie Baka Galupi. And you can see that that is pronounced exactly the way it's spelled. She's an ambassador at large at Technocracy News. She's also a Californian cattle rancher who is one of the premier speakers on Agenda 21 throughout the West on cap and trade, sustainable development, property rights. And she just is really in the know on what's happening with property rights in the West. Debbie, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was really nervous I was going to mispronounce your name, but I got it out. I got it out right, I think. So.
Yeah, you know what? I just tell people, if you're fearful of botching it up, so it's Bacigalupi. And it means, you know what it means? It means kiss of the wolf or wolf kisses or you stupid fool. And as a cattle rancher, I always say, be careful what you be careful what you wish for.
Well, we will.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, we'll just say Debbie B. Is that all right?
Sounds great.
All right. No, I really appreciate you coming on. And that is actually, I love names because they really do say a lot about a person. Even when you don't know what your name means, you find out and it's kind of defined your whole life and you didn't even know it. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing and cataloging as far as issues throughout the West. I really want you to touch on Agenda 21. I do want you to touch on the wolf issue, like you mentioned, and also water rights. What has been happening and what do you see developing in the Western United States, but also throughout the rest of the world?
Yeah, well, you know, we're airing from the evil capital of California. I'm in Sacramento right now. And right now, my governor, Jerry Brown, flush it down, Jerry Brown, is at the United Nations conference in Germany, which I couldn't get enough funds to go this year. But, you know, Matt, I go to these conferences so I can tell people firsthand what I've heard. It's not hearsay, and what's coming down the pike. And interestingly enough, the United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, the 2030 Agenda, the New Urban Agenda still is not getting the recognition, the negative recognition that it should be. And, you know, you've got an interesting character up in the city of Seattle. You have a planner by the name of J. Gary Lawrence, who was responsible for writing a document, a millennium document. And in this document, I think it was from 2004, he is a city planner in the city of Seattle. And he wrote a document saying why they would not call Agenda 21 by its name in the United States of America. They chose, this J. Gary Lawrence fella, they chose to call it something else, like smart growth and comprehensive planning, because they knew that smart people like you, me, and your listeners would catch on to what Agenda 21 was all about, which is moving towards a global governance using planet Earth, Mother Gaia Earth, worshiping frogs and fish and rocks for a way to take away private property rights, and that includes land and water and everything in between. And so that is still moving forward. In fact, many nations right now at the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, I went to the Paris Agreement in 2015, and many countries were not signing on, but it seems like post-Trump, more countries are signing on to the Paris Agreement. Mayors are demanding that we sign on to the Paris Agreement. What is the Paris Agreement? The Paris Agreement is an accord where we all, as a global citizenry, plan, we agree to maintain the world's temperature. This is so we maintain the world's temperature, climate, by 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And how do you do that globally? How do you maintain the world's temperature? We all must live a sustainable development lifestyle. And a sustainable development lifestyle is you put planet Earth first. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's where we're still heading, Matt. And not enough people are awake to talk about it, to share about it. We need people on the streets every day talking about these issues, because we know that you know, man cannot control the temperature, as they're stating that we should be able to control the temperature. It's just crazy, Matt. So I hope I made some sense there.
No, it absolutely is crazy. And I find it interesting that this, you know, when I first got into legislature back in 2009, there was this thing called Y2Y, Yellowstone to Yukon, and all of this idea about biodiversity. Well, it just came out. They're finally admitting it. They're planning, these scientists, these radical environmentalists are planning to map a safety net, quote, for planet Earth. And I just want to read the quote and get your reaction to this. Quote, scientists and conservationists have argued for years that setting aside at least half of the world's landmass is off limits to human enterprise is necessary if we're to conserve our planet's biodiversity, end quote. I mean, this is craziness. I mean, that means we'll all be stuffed into a city looking at the grizzly bears through our window. We'll be in the zoo.
That's right. You know, it's so interesting that you put it that way. When I was traveling from Canada down to Montana to go to a water rights conference and find out about how at the Flathead Reservation in Kalispell, Big Fork, Montana area, what had happened is the federal government turned over, since you're so close, your listeners may already know about this, but the federal government 30 years ago, 31 years ago, I think now, stated that it would give back to the Confederated CSKT, Salish Kootenai tribe, the whole water of in the Flathead Reservation area, water rights gone for farmers and ranchers and people in that area. But as I was traveling from the Y2Y, if you will, I saw all these fences going up along the freeways. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's not the animals that are being fenced in. We're being fenced out. And it just dawned on me so crystal clear because, you know, animals can still, through their wildlife corridors, travel, you know, above or below the freeways. But human beings can't. We can't just go off-road like we used to. We can't just pull over and go, you know, catch a picture of a waterfall. We're fenced out. And we're seeing that more and more plans here in California. You know, as goes California, so goes the nation. And I'm just forewarning people, what is happening here is the largest dam destruction project in worldwide history. What's happening here is, I know you're particularly interested in water rights right now. What's happening here is something called SGMA, sustainable, that's the Agenda 21 term. Anytime we hear sustainable, understand that it does not mean what we normally would have thought sustainable means, not in the 21st century anyway. It means social equity, environmental justice, and economic justice. Those are my words. There are their ones. They are in government documents now. They are in your comprehensive plans and your smart growth plans and your smart city plans and your neighborhood plans, your safe neighborhood plans, all of it, your forest management plans, all of it. So what we have, it's called a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, meaning in order to preserve California's water, which we are a natural arid state, we won't have water 24/7 year round because we have long historical years of drought. We are the nation's capital for agriculture. So what do they want to do? They want to destroy dams here in California. They want to regulate everybody's water, whether or not under SGMA, Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, it could include WOTUS. We're trying to push waters of the United States here in California. WOTUS and SGMA mean that if you have a stream on your property, my parents have a ranch, it's 4,500 acres. There are many streams. Some of them have not run for decades. But under these policies, all water, whether or not it's running, whether or not it's running now, whether or not it will run years down the road, will be controlled and managed under what are either the state government, and let me tell you, I'm sorry, I just keep rambling on here, but if we get 2020 is coming up really soon, and we see this attack on Trump, we see the attack on American values, I'm telling you, these people who would have sustainable development, Agenda 21 down our throats where we are living in mass production, you know, high-rises, where we live in shadows, you know, there is no sun because there's so many high rises and you can walk, bike, and take public transportation only. But we're going to get, if we don't work hard now, we are going to get somebody like Hillary Clinton, who is a sustainable development maven, And we will, it will be a dark, dark, dark years to come before we get the light of freedom, the disinfectant of what's going on. 3 years is not a lot of time, Matt.
Up here in Spokane Valley, Washington, you know, we've had to deal with something called the Hearst decision up from the Washington State Supreme Court that essentially created a moratorium on any further well drilling, immediately and dramatically devaluing all the property. And a lot of these people are baby boomers who are going to build a retirement home on the property. It's done. I mean, it's gone. And if they control the water, they control the people. That's the point behind
That's
all
right.
this.
That's right. You control the water, you control life. Absolutely. You control air, you control life. And when you look at the Sustainable Development Goals under United Nations Agenda 21, which were part of the Paris Agreement, Obama agreed to them. By the way, just because Trump said that we're not going to be a part of the Paris Agreement does not mean legally we are still bound right now. It isn't. These guys are so sneaky and evil. The United Nations and all these people who are the non-government organizations involved with, I think you're in Ickley City, right? International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives.
Spokane Valley is not, but Spokane actually kicked it out a couple of years ago, and they're trying to get it back.
Yeah, well, you know what? But the plans are still in place. The businesses right. are still adopting it. The government, the plant, your planning, the zoning, all of it has already adopted it. So, you know, and reducing your greenhouse gas emissions using, you know, whatever ICLEI software they provided. And by the way, when you guys signed on to it, we saw California is covered with ICLEI. When you sign on to it, you also agree to their memorandum of understanding, which is part of their memorandum of understanding is adopting the United Nations Earth Charter, which is to replace the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. And so, you know, there's all those issues going on, and it's being pushed through right now everywhere you go. So, you know, it's nice to think that we are out of the Paris Agreement, but what these crafty, evil people did, including ICLEI, the non-government organization that has partnered with the United Nations on Agenda 21 to locally push Agenda 21 down our throats, is they've craftily designed it so that you cannot, a country cannot officially pull out of the Paris Agreement until the day after the 2020 United States presidential election. Incredible.
Incredible. I mean, and if people don't get this, if people don't get this, we literally are going to be living in a and I use that term intentionally, a communist country where the government owns and controls most of the capital, the means of production, and we're going to, you know, thank the Lord when a small crumb falls off the king's table to us. I mean, I don't want to live in a place like this. That's not America where we should be scraping by. We're worried that our property is going to be seized just because we're doing the normal thing that our family has done for generations. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the frustration that I experience, and I know a lot of people who are speaking out against, you know, whether it's Common Core or cap and trade or vehicle mile travel tax or whatever it is, it takes a brave person these days. Our frustration is there's not enough people involved. And, you know, Daniel Webster, brilliant. He was brilliant. They forewarned us of what would come, that we would be the dupes of designing men. And we are. And that by our complacency, because we would not scrutinize our public officials, that we would become the dupes again of designing men. And we have done that. We have not been engaged and involved. I mean, thankfully, there's people like you. But we have not been engaged and involved in the level that needs to start either stop this and turn this around. I mean, Matt, you asked me what I see in the future. I'm very fearful. I'm hopeful. I'm praying. I think divine intervention would be a really nice thing right now. But I have great, great concerns of not enough people involved and leaders who are just corrupt, a media that is off the charts corrupt, and not enough people involved.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've either co-produced or inspired a lot of different things, from the movie Blue, which a lot of us up here in Spokane Valley love, but also Wolves in Government Clothing. I would like you to kind of give just a quick synopsis of that. And then I'd like to shift a little bit and talk about the State of Jefferson movement in Northern California, because I think a lot of rural areas now, we have the State of Liberty movement here in Washington. Just want to say, you know what, just live in your city, leave us alone. And they just want to break away from it and say, hey, we want to be our own state. We want to live, you know, according to our own values and be best represented by that. So I'd like to get your take on that, too.
Yeah, great. On the Blue, and there was another one called No Water, No Farmer, No Food. Because of what's going on in the Klamath River, the largest dam destruction project in worldwide history, and hardly anyone knows about it. Perhaps you do in the state of Washington, because you had the Elwha destroyed, and I went up and interviewed a bunch of people along the Elwha before those dams were destroyed, and you had, I don't know how many acre feet of sediment just wash out the mouth. But so I was inspired because of our fight on the Klamath River. My parents are not far from there. When they start destroying dams, which according to United Nations Agenda 21, dams are unsustainable in the 21st century, and also according to the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, which we signed on to under the Paris, right before the Paris Agreement and during the Paris Agreement, by the year 2020, according to I think number 12, the 12th target of the Sustainable Development Goals, all ecosystems must be related. Mountain areas must be revived and restored. Biodiversity must be restored. So there's a quick agenda to take over water rights. There's a quick agenda to destroy dams across the United States of America. And, you know, people are shaking their head and going, oh, wait, this woman sounds wackadoo. Let me tell you, all you have to do is in your search term and on the Internet, look up H. Conres 353, Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, Nancy Pelosi. You will go to a C-SPAN video. It's about 15 hours long. And you will see that Nancy Pelosi authored the bill for H. Conres 353. And that is what we're talking about here. In that, she said, it's a simple resolution. Really, like healthcare, you have to pass it before you find out what's in it. Well, here's what we're finding out, is that even along the Elwha, there was corruption. I met people who lived along the Elwha for their entire life, and they were saying that the numbers that they were reporting in the state of Washington were to rewild Olympic Park were not accurate. Well, that's the same thing that's happening on the Klamath. There's going to be 20 million cubic yards of sediment, that pollutant, that will sludge its way 60-plus years out to the ocean. The federal government is now relieving itself or releasing its duties under Department of Interior Ryan Zinke, who is not our friend at this point. We are very concerned about that pick by Trump so far, and so is the state of Montana when it comes to Ryan Zinke and him being the Department of Interior and him butting up with tribes that would have our dams removed. Why? Because they will receive thousands of acres in restoration projects of land and millions of dollars years down the road for restoration along these ecosystems once these dams are breached. They will be breached. I'll take a breath it's just in case you need to pop in here. Please do.
I live, you're doing great.
And breathe this stuff. So what will happen is, because we under a bill, and this, you need to be careful of this too in the state of Washington, when they pass water bills, be sure to read the entire thing, every single word. We passed something called Prop 1, a water bond, back in 2014, and I actually dressed up as a big, huge mascot pig to urge the Republican Party, who ignored us in California. I dressed up as a pig to say this bond, this water bond bill, is full of environmental pork. It said things like remove fish barriers. People, what is a fish barrier? It's a dam. So here we think, oh, we're going to get water storage. But you know what? When you've got statements in there like sustainable community strategies in a bill, that should be red flag, people, warning, warning, warning. We need to pay attention to these details that are, you know, being passed in the night, for example, because if they were passed in the daylight, people wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't go along with these things because we understand that they go at the heart of destroying our individualism, our freedom and liberty, our private property rights, and our water rights. So with the Klamath River, I started doing a film with my sister called about farmers and ranchers being destroyed through, you know, destroying our water systems and our ecosystems and declaring that fish are more important than people. And when you start looking into these agendas, just like on the ELWA, when you start digging, you will see years of secret meetings, of quote-unquote stakeholders meetings, where people thousands of miles away are getting together to plan the future for the people who live with and among these river systems that are under attack. So I just saw that there was a need for a cry for help. And at the same time, Matt, we were starting to hear about wolf meetings, and there has not been a wolf in over 100 years in California. There were only two wolves. They were timber wolves, and that the Department of Fish and Game has any record from. But their computer modeling now state that these, just like with the computer modeling of fish recovery and dam destruction, that the computer modeling, which is input by human beings, you know, it's not just like they throw numbers out in the air and the computers grab the best numbers. No, when you've got agendas afoot and people who are involved and get money and with the wolf situation too, then you're going to have corruption. And so at the same time that we were fighting against the destruction of the Klamath River dams, there's four that they're planning on destroying by the year 2020 to match the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. We were now in Department of Fish and Game. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Fish and Wildlife now, because it's not about game; it's about rewilding. Meeting
right.
to try and telling us how, as cattle ranchers, we can live harmoniously with the wolves. And so I found this guy, J.D. King. You know, you probably saw his Crying Wolf movie. Phenomenal.
Yeah, we brought him over here. Actually, yeah, we brought him over here to screen it.
Oh, phenomenal. He's just so great. And so that's how I met J.D. King. And when we had J.D. up in Siskiyou County, state of Jefferson, when we had J.D. up there to do the screening, we also informed him of the Klamath River dams. And he had already started an idea about a movie called, it's Blue now, but it
Blue.
Was something
yeah.
about... Yeah, it was something about green, though, and we changed it because we saw, you know, blue was just a good word. And so anyway, that's how I got involved in helping to produce the Blue. So when you see it all in California, that's my part, my production part, and just had a blast. And then I did another film called No Water, No Farmer, No Food, and that's focusing on the San Joaquin Valley and the water situations going there. But you know, I just hope that more people, you know, we need funding for these things, because getting out our word is really word of mouth marketing. We don't have the help of the media
In the last minute we've got left, if I could break in real quick, where can people go to get that information and, you know, follow you and maybe email you as well?
Yeah, technocracy.news. We are living in a technocratic state. Which is really what, you know, beyond communism and totalitarianism and all those things, we are living in technocracy, which is a new international economic order based on systems where all resources are controlled by systems. And that's why we see this computer modeling, and they keep saying to us that the science is settled, so we've got it figured out. These are technocrats who are now running the show. So we need to know who our real enemy is. The real enemy is technocrats, systems, and the problem with a technocracy as compared to a communism. So you could go to technocracy.news and go to the About Us page, and that's where you can contact me. But the problem with going into a technocracy is you can't unelect these people. You cannot overthrow them. You will never see them. They hide behind systems, technology, and it is far worse than communism when it comes to getting control back of our freedom and liberty. It's a scary future.
It is a scary future. Seriously, 30 seconds real quick on your thoughts on the state of Jefferson and this movement around the country to kind of break rural areas away from the urban areas, because the rural areas, just they're just sick and tired of what the urban areas are putting on top of them as far as regulations and trying to steal property.
Absolutely. State of Jefferson, go to SOJ51.org. State of Jefferson, 51.org. There's several movements, one called New California. It's the same system we've got set up here, so avoid that one, which is where we put people in power. The other movement is seceding from the state of California. It's illegal. So State of Jefferson, SOJ51.org, you have to have Mark Baird back on your show. It's phenomenal, and we need that. We need to separate when we are being destroyed by urban city people, not city people, but the way city people vote. The people in cities, you need rural America. You need our food. You need our timber. You need our, you know, minerals and resources. Otherwise, you're inviting big government, and which is always ends up in corruption.
It does. We'll end up like Venezuela. Debbie Bacigalupi, Ambassador at Large for Technocracy News. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. We'll have you back on again and try to maybe give a little bit more of a full hour because you have so much great information. But thank you again and really appreciate what you're doing down there. And let's stay in touch.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. Lord bless. So you can check it out, what she's talking about, State of Jefferson. And I've put it up there several times. We'll have him back on because we were talking about the State of Liberty and in this movement, because it's so critical that people understand this is not just in one area. A lot of people are thinking the same way. But Debbie's done a great job. Go to Technocracy News. If you don't get their newsletter, sign up for it. It is a great place to get information about what's really going on in the world. And as you heard, she can get first-person accounts from the United Nations as well. Debbie Bacigalupi, Ambassador-at-Large for Technocracy News. This is Matt Shea. May God bless you all. May he make this generation the greatest one.